My guest is Steve Wise. He's the executive director of the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Welcome to The Exchange, Steve.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, tell me about the work you do.
Well, we are Oregon's first and oldest independent regional land land trust, and that means that we permanently protect land for the human and natural communities here in the Rogue Valley. We started out working statewide from the east border to the coast, but since other land trusts have come up in the last 47 years, we're focused on Jackson and Josephine County in the Rogue Valley.
So there's a whole network community of land trusts?
There is. There's a statewide network that includes 30 different groups, and nationally it's now, I think, over 700.
What is Open Lands Day?
Open Lands Day is an opportunity for people to visit our signature preserve, the Rogue River Preserve, which is just outside of Eagle Point along the Rogue River. It's 350 acres of natural forest, riparian forest and oak savanna, just north of Dodge Bridge Park along Highway 234.
Now, when you say riparian, what does that mean?
That means along the riverfront. So there's 2 miles of Rogue Riverfront that is unimpacted the way it's always been. And that's kind of the work that we do, is looking at the landscapes that are intact and functioning and supporting the extraordinary range of living communities, human and natural, that are part of this region and always have been, and trying to keep those lands healthy for permanent, forever. We say our words are for people, we're for nature, we're forever.
Okay. People, nature, forever.
Yeah.
What's the value of that if people can't use the land?
Well, this is an example of how people can use the land. It's what we're realizing now is that conservation really means that people and nature have to be living in balance, and the people have to be supportive of that. So how do we learn to do that? And that's by participating. So the Rogue River Preserve is more or less it's a nature preserve, and we bring people in to experience it there. So 4 times a year we have an Open Lands Day where everybody can come and visit, experience the forest, go out on the trails, either have a self-guided hike or participate in one of 2 organized hikes during the day, and just get that sense of what it's like to be in a natural place that's protected and experience nature for all of its benefits.
Okay, so 4 times a year, we have to put that on our calendar then.
Right, 4 times a year, but then we also have other programs and opportunities for people to participate as volunteers, and the Rogue River Preserve is one of now 10 preserves that we are managing and we own. I say own with air quotes because, you know, one of my native friends said, we don't own the land owns us. But to take care of it permanently, The Rogue River Preserve has taught our organization that the opportunity to open our gates and actually bring people in is one of the most important things we can do.
Well, talk about some of your Native friends. How many of the Native populations are you affiliated with, you network with, you work with?
Yeah, well, we know that we are in the ancestral territories of the Lotgawa, the Shasta, the Tkalma, and also the current members of the Grand Ronde and the Siletz Confederations, as well as the neighbors in the Cow Creek, Klamath tribes, because our lands go all the way to the eastern border of the state. We're in Paiute territory. And then we're working in a number of collaborations, particularly a group called the Indigenous Gardens Network that has participation from Southern Oregon University, from both of the confederated tribes with ancestral lands here, about reconnecting members of the Native communities with their ancestral lands.
So why is there a need for land conservancy?
Well, this is interesting that we work entirely on non-federal lands. So at this moment, you sort of realize the importance of community-based private action for the health of land and other public resources. So although these lands are private, what we do is we have agreements with 75 different landowners. They're called conservation easements, and that's a voluntary legal commitment to leave the land as it is, except for a small residential zone where people can live. That conservation easement, once it's in place, stays with the land permanently. It's a legal instrument that's tied to the deed. And then these other 10 preserves that we manage, we make the commitment to say these lands will stay intact. They'll have their forests, their grasslands, their waterways. Sometimes farms and forest lands that are used for production can be put in easement too. So it's a way of saying that the natural functions and the habitat functions are so important that we have to have as much as possible protected outside of the public sphere to make us continue the quality of life and the experience that we expect to have here in Oregon.
So you're managing this land.
Right.
You're preserving this land.
Right.
Conserving this land.
Yes, with people and with nature.
How do you acquire the land?
It's amazing. We are also part of what I call a culture of generosity. People care so much about the land in this region and in Oregon that they say, we want this land to stay the way it is forever. And most of the work that we do is donated to us. So the right to conserve the land is donated. It has a value in terms of selling the value of the land. It actually is considered to be reducing the value, but it preserves the natural value forever. So people donate that easement value. Sometimes they donate the lands. In the case of the Rogue River Preserve, where the Open Lands Day is, the family wanted it conserved, and so they did what was called a bargain sale. We paid for part of the value of the land, but they donated a big chunk of that value that was worth more than $1 million so that the land would stay permanently protected. People care about the land, so they are willing to share that with the public, with the future, and with future generations.
And so where does the money come from for you to do the work that you do?
We are supported by community members. It's kind of like JPR. We take donations from individuals. There's hundreds of people every year, and then regional and local foundation, private, almost entirely private sources. We're very fortunate. There's been a lot of impact in the nonprofit community from the cuts to public funding. But because we have been operating now for almost 50 years, we've built up this relationship with the community, the people, because this is a community priority. I call it a core value in Oregon. People care so much about this. They recognize the importance of having intact nature and that direct experience of nature as part of our lives, that people support us. And then when it comes time to act on a really major piece of land like the Rogue Preserve, we have a campaign and say, help us protect this important land, and people do.
So you say you've been around 50 years. When did it start and why?
It started in 1978, either in a Chinese restaurant in Medford and or the Ashland Library or both.
Okay.
It was a group of people getting together and saying, hey, the development of the land as it's happening now is a threat to the landscape as we know it and as the function of things like the rivers and the forests that we all depend on. So those people saw kind of a potentially destructive future and said, wait, if we get together and figure out how to protect the land, we can keep this place the way that we it's always been in a sense naturally, and a way that we want our children and their grandchildren and everybody else to experience. So they organized this group and said, let's figure out ways to protect the land permanently, and we've been at it ever since.
My guest is Steve Wise, Executive Director of the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. If we look forward to 2050, what's the long-term vision for the Land Conservancy? What's your strategic plan?
Yeah, thank you. We look at now, when we started, people would say, can you help me preserve my land, conserve my land? We'd say, sure, that's great. What? Where? Now we have a long-term conservation plan that looks at things on a decadal scale and says, where are the most important functional intact lands and how can we string those together from a patchwork to a mosaic to actual corridors of connectivity? Because wildlife need long connected spaces to survive and thrive, to adapt to climate change, to live their life ways. So we're looking at how we can connect places together in the most important ecological areas and build up this network so that everybody's healthy, so that animals are healthy, so that people have a chance to experience nature the way we always have.
Contiguous landscapes.
Contiguous landscapes that are connected, and also places where you do have, our role is to protect the non-federal, private, and municipal lands. That's a way of saying there's a lot of public land in Oregon, but the private lands matter too. So we're the ones that are working outside of the federal boundaries.
So has the Land Conservancy sat down with developers, private landowners, and policymakers to form some sort of pact around the use of lands?
It's more that we're working within the state's land use system, that, mm-hmm. that we look at lands that have certain designations and then say, well, we want to keep those designations, and also adding a layer of designations that conservation lands are a thing unto themselves. It's not quite recognized in county or state codes sometimes, but the people that make these donations, there can be a tax advantage. But again, this culture of generosity means more than half the people who have donated this right to conserve their land never took a tax donation. They just did it because they got the big heart.
Okay, so this term, cultural generosity,
yeah,
this is the first time I've heard this term, but you've used it a couple of times.
Sure.
And it's the motivating factor for people to donate their lands. Here's a question. Does this cultural generosity motivate people to donate the lands back to the original people who lived here?
Well, I think that's one of the next steps that we're all working on. Our organization, like I said, there's this coalition of Oregon land trusts, And that group has a statewide project called the Oregon Land Justice Project, looking at how land trusts can support tribal objectives and the reconnection of tribal communities with their ancestral land. So part of that is figuring out the progression of what's called land back, first providing access and connection for cultural practices, gathering and recognizing that this is where their families were. The second part is co-management of the land. So we're looking at how can we invite the tribes in, the tribes that have ancestral heritage here, to help us co-manage the lands in perpetuity for their permanent good for the whole community. And then the third step is to say, how do we do what's called land back, returning land directly to tribal management and ownership. And the Siletz tribe bought a big piece of Table Rocks. There's a native land trust called Nanessa Land Trust, supported by Siletz tribal members, that is working to be kind of like we are, a nonprofit that protects land for tribal interests, but they're not tribal government. So there's a number of different avenues that are emerging and growing in this movement to reconnect Native communities with their ancestral lands, and we're trying to be part of that.
Well, this is extraordinary. This is transformative.
It is. It's a new recognition of old ways. This idea that people and nature are not separate is something that we're relearning from the Native communities, from Indigenous communities too, where some of our colleagues at a national symposium we went to a couple of weeks ago said, you know, we're beyond thinking of land under glass. It's not that conservation means keeping people out. It's rebuilding that healthy relationship between people, the lands, nature, and the future.
Well, thank you so much for the work that you do, Steve.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us here.